A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are powered by the OBBM Network. Man, please share our show, like our show, because by doing so, you are healing another first responder, a veteran, or somebody who's battling in the mental health with mental health issues. You know, we cover a wide range of services, and you never know who you're going to help by just sharing out our show. And just leave some notes in the comments and participate in it. Show, ask. We got some great guests on today. Sam, you want to introduce them?
Hey, John, it's great to be with you. Yeah, you know, we just got off of doing an 8-hour workshop with a whole lot of awesome firefighters locally and their family members. And I'll tell you, the feedback that we're getting, that we got is so key. And it's really a validation of how involved the family truly wants to be with their first responder and how much peer support that these firefighters already signed up to do, that are doing inside the firehouse, outside the firehouse. Their peer support has taken on such an incredible role, such a healing role. It's helping to smash the stigma surrounding mental health with our first responders. And it's something, John, that, you know, you, me, Jeff, and John, we've been talking about for a long time. Jeff is a peer supporter through the ops program right here up the street. And it is one of the key things that is growing across the country that we're encouraging more and more firefighters, police officers, certainly first responders, and includes the 911 call takers, you know, dispatch, all the above. There's something, a peer support available for whatever role that you play in your first responder service. And we want to bring on,
I just want to bring up one thing, Sam, that when you bring up the workshop, when we talk about the firefighters workshop, because we do a lot of law enforcement workshops. And this was the first family firefighter workshop that we did. And one thing that really brought to light for me is that, you know, everybody thinks firefighters have that kitchen table decompression time, you know? But we found out they just share a lot of dark humor to deflect, and they're not getting the healing, or they're not getting the outlet that they really, really should be doing for themselves, that mental health healing at the kitchen table in the firehouse, you know? And I thought all the time that they would be doing that, you know, debriefs and everything else. And it's so minimal, and they think that's enough, and it's not. And we're learning more and more that this is not the place to do it, but within the peer support network.
Absolutely. And so that's why it's important to bring on I'll just say Lori and Skip from Worldwide Peer Support, because they're the folks that can fill that all important gap when the only thing you feel like doing is sharing that dark gallows humor. You can reach out directly. They work with fire. They work with EMS. Skip and Lori, thank you so much for coming on the podcast tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Lori, we'll start with you. You know, can you tell everybody listening and watching a little about your experience and why you got involved with the organization?
Sure. I am married to a career firefighter. He started out as a volunteer when we were first married. And, you know, kind of, you know, I'm kind of here to say that that whole glamorous firefighter life is not a thing. So, you know, I'm always proud of him. And I, you know, is definitely, you know, proud, you know, to be a firefighter's wife kind of thing in the beginning. But over the years, you know, not only did he see a lot of things, you know, I saw a lot of things and a lot of changes in him over the years. And, you know, my husband was probably one of the funniest men that, you know, I've ever met. And we laughed and joked a lot. And over time, that man disappeared. And, you know, it's kind of hard to describe because as a wife, you know, I always wanted to be that safe place for him to land when he came home. And I thought I was doing a great job and I was doing a great job, but I can't help him through everything. There, you know, there's the secondary trauma. There's things that I can't hear because then I don't sleep at night. I internalize them. So, you know, I always thought I was doing a great thing when he would, you know, say he had a rough night and I would turn down the bed when he came home and said, you know, go to sleep, rest. And, you know, was kind of my solution was, you know, when you get some rest and you wake up, you'll feel better. And over time, you know, just realized that, you know, that wasn't enough. And also, not that it wasn't enough, but you know, you get to thinking that is it me? Is it, you know, are we just having, you know, marital problems? You know, that sometimes the silence in our house was so loud that I can't even describe it. It's one of those things that you feel like there's shouting going on. It's like you almost wish that there was shouting going on because it was just it was just so quiet. And I always thought, is there something wrong between us? Every time I asked him, I'm fine. And you know, my background is in mental health and substance abuse prevention. So I the fact that I didn't see it coming. But I think when you're close to it, you don't necessarily see it coming.
Exactly it.
So that was really hard for me to kind of accept because I went to suicide prevention meetings. I went to, you know, all of the community outreach things and I knew about, you know, all of these things, but that wasn't what was happening to us. You know, we weren't having that in our house. We were, you know, we were fine. We were just having, you know, we were hitting rough patches. And when I finally did, the last few years before he went in for treatment, they were really dark years. And, you know, wondered, you know, if I leave, he's never going to get better. He's going to get worse. He's going to have too much time on his hands. He's, you know, going to be, you know, alone. And, you know, I think, you know, any normal person, you know, kind of looking from the outside in would look at it and say, you know, why didn't you leave when he was, you know, drinking so much, when he was doing, you know, all of these, you know, self-destructive behaviors. And I just knew that he needed me. And sometimes he needed me at the expense of my own mental health. You know, like I said, I used to go to these suicide prevention meetings, and the whole time that I went, I, you know, every once in a while I would say, you know, we should really do something for our first responders. We should, you know, and kind of bring those up in these meetings. And, you know, it was never, not that it wasn't well received, because it was, but, you know, there was other more pertinent issues. And so finally, when my husband went into treatment, in August of 2020, I brought it up at another meeting. And this time I told my story. And I didn't feel like, up until then, I didn't feel that it was my story to tell. I felt that it was my husband's story. He was the one who was struggling. And, you know, I didn't know that my husband was suicidal. I didn't know that he was going through a lot of the things that he was going through, because like I said, we didn't talk about a lot of the stuff, the details when it came to calls, because like I couldn't handle it. It was just something that was too much of a burden for my heart and my brain to deal with. So, and then all of a sudden everybody realized, hey, this is a bigger deal than what we thought, you know. And my husband has been a firefighter for 23 and a half years. So, and that's professional. He was a volunteer for, I think, about 8 years before that. So, I've seen a lot of changes, and I was under the same mindset that he was, you know, in the beginning, is that, you know, firefighters need to be tough. And, you know, if there's somebody there with my husband who, and they're going into a fire or they're going into a potentially dangerous situation, I want them to, you know, quotes, man up, and, you know, not, you know, take care of himself, take care of who they need, their patients, but take care of my husband as well. So it was definitely, I've definitely seen an evolution over the years. And I think I'm talking too much. you know, that's kind of a small, you know, introduction to, you know, to where, you know, we are today. We're, like I said, August 2020, he went in for treatment, and I can't say that, you know, he came out perfect. He came out a different person. And there are definitely times where I have said, you know, where is that person that I married? And I've had to accept as a family member that person doesn't exist anymore. And
no, you are bringing up great points, and this is what we heard like all Saturday. Like, yeah, where did this person go? Sorry to cut in. We gotta take a quick break to hear from our first sponsor, guys. We are talking to Lori and Skip from Worldwide Peer Support. We will be right back.
Move freely, America, without medical restrictions or penalty. Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Move freely, America, with one voice, without fear of retribution, achieving a common goal, medical freedom. We the people make our voices heard by connecting with state legislators and engaging a constitutionally compliant medical bill of rights for all citizens. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice, too. Move Freely America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely America. My voice.
And my voice.
And together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. Movefreelyamerica.org.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are powered by the OBBM Network. And we welcome back Skip and Lori with the Worldwide Peer Support. Lori, you bring up some great points before we took that break. But the one thing I want to touch on is you said man up, you know, that man up feeling. And that's where the part of the stigma comes from. And we touched on this in the family workshop where, you know, with that big red S that we all wear on our chest, that big, hey, we have to stay sharp. We have to keep everything inside. This way it's going to keep us safe. And that is a falsehood throughout all the first responder network, is that, you know, our training keeps us safe. You know, holding on to the traumas or holding on to the bad calls to keep us sharp, to keep us, you know, engaged and the whole bit. That's a falsehood that is back from the 60s and the 70s that has caused a stigma throughout throughout our first responder careers. And that's what we're trying to eliminate. And it's slowly getting eliminated. That training is what saves you. It's not holding these things in to keep you sharp. A lot of cops say, well, I hold this trauma in to keep me sharp and, you know, ready for anything. That's a falsehood that we all internalize as first responders, because anybody with over 20 years, that's what you learn in the academy, you know, the man up, the suck it up kind of attitude. The second thing I want to bring up is the journey you brought up. You said it's not your journey to share. And that's also a falsehood. It is your journey, because you two as a couple are walking side by side, right? Though you're not experiencing the stuff out in the street, the journey's still home, right? When it comes to family and the really good peer support, starts at home. Because if that's not connected, then that's where all the problems start. So the journey is yours. So don't ever think that journey's not yours to tell. That journey is also yours as well.
I think that I've learned that a lot along the way. I also felt like it was a privacy thing. You know, I how often do you tell your friends and your family, you know, the down and dirty that's going on in your house? And, you know, my husband is an alcoholic. He's been sober since August 17th, 2020. As a substance abuse prevention worker, I didn't know if I was reading too much into his drinking. You know, it was like, is it just me? You know, because that's what I do for a living, is that, you know, am I just being more sensitive to it? And turns out he was drinking way more than he was showing me that he was drinking. And, you know, I went to Al-Anon meetings before he went in for treatment. And, you know, he was like, you know, what are you going to those for? I'm not an alcoholic. And I was like, and I just had to, you know, it was things that I learned that I had to do for myself. But, you know, probably one of the most powerful things that I like to share this is I did talk at one of our local suicide prevention meetings and told my story and kind of, you know, a little bit more, you know, in depth and the down and ugly stuff. And there was a young woman there and she was in her early 20s and she's married to a firefighter. And I see as I'm speaking the tears streaming down her face. And after the meeting, I went up to her and I asked her if she was okay. And I said, can I give you a hug? And she just, you know, just started to cry and she, you know, didn't know where to turn, having, you know, the same issues, because we all kind of live the same life. It's just to different degrees. And all I could think about at the time, you know, I have a daughter who is also married to a firefighter, and I never, ever want her to go through what we went through. I never want my son-in-law, you know, who is, you know, my son that I didn't give birth to. I never want to see him ever go through something like that. I never want to see my grandchildren go through the walking on eggshells that we all went through as a family. And, you know, dad's home, we have to be quiet. We have to, you know, not upset dad and, you know, those sorts of things. And it was really emotional. And, you know, it was part of the reason why when we all met in Nashville after my husband got out of his rehab, and we decided to form the Worldwide Peer Support. And when I met all of these people, they immediately became my heart. You know, it was like, and I said to my husband, I said, I feel like I've known these people my whole life. I, you know, literally just met them and, you know, we had this kind of powwow, let's, you know, do this. And the rest is history. And we meet up a few times a year and we we just are, you know, all like the best of friends. And it's been great therapy for me, but it's also, I like to think that it's good therapy for them too. And just to see the amount of people who have been touched by what we're doing. One of our founding members, her name is Jossie, and she has the best analogy. She said, and I give her credit where credit is due. She said, PTSD is contagious. And the secondary trauma that I went through because of my husband's trauma, I think will stay with me a lifetime. I've had EMDR therapy, which helped tremendously. But it's always going to be there. And it's a matter of, you know, we need to have more, you know, better days than we have had bad days, which we do. And, you know, just kind of moving forward, helping people. I'm so proud of my husband. When I see him, you know, taking a phone call and he goes, you know, outside, or he, you know, calls me from work and he's like, hey, you know, somebody from work reached out to me today and they're really having, you know, a hard time. And he's able to, you know, hug them and, you know, cry with them. And it's okay for them to cry together. I couldn't be more proud of him.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, you said something, we got to take another quick break, but before we break, you said something that our partner Jeff always says, is that you never know when your story is going to unlock someone else's prison. And you certainly did that for the young lady when you gave your testimony and just put it out there. And that opens the door for healing that spans, you never know where it's going to go. And so you are absolutely changing lives. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. And Skip's going to tell his story. And this is awesome. So stay tuned, everybody.
Good conversation.
Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam, with our wonderful guests, Skip and Lori. If you missed the first half of the show, it's definitely a great conversation opener. We're talking about the ripple effect. We're talking about how our traumas do affect our family members, and sometimes it's not even noticeable. So, Lori, I want to thank you so much for sharing that experience with us and sharing your story, your journey, and how it aligns with your husband's. And, Skip, I want to talk about some of the boxes that you have in the back of you. Because, you know, a big thing, and we discussed this before the show, is FDIC is coming up and the progress that has been made within the fire service and the worldwide peer support system is really starting to catch on. And it's a positive aspect. That's what we got to look at. We got to keep looking and moving forward as a positive aspect. So, Skip, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Sam and John, for the mission you guys do. It's like, you know, we knew there were some people out there like us. We just didn't know. So finding you like this, it's going to help us just grow, and we can complement each other. And I don't ever try to redo what somebody's doing. I just try to help them succeed in their mission.
That's it.
You know, for me, I'm again, Lori's got a good story, and Tony's a good friend of mine, and I get to call Tony her husband, and we talk a lot. You know, I've been a firefighter. I was a firefighter for 33 years here in Indiana, close to Indianapolis and Anderson. And I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict. I did a lot of treatment centers in the 90s. You know, I grew up, and you know, when I got on the medic unit, and came in 1988, and then I was on the medic for a couple of years, and then seen a lot of things, and then 6 months later, I'm in a treatment center. You know, there's nothing for first responders. It's everybody. I was there for 30 days for alcoholism. Of course, I kept going back to the treatment center because I wasn't following what they suggested. So finally, after, in and out of relationships, mother, father, brothers tried to help. My two brothers are police officers. Older brothers are police officers. My dad was in the military, and they didn't know what to do with me. And
you were the oddball out.
I was the oddball. I said I was a black sheep, but I was the one that put myself there. Nobody else did. I had a great family. They loved me, and they loved me. They just didn't know what to do. On February 7th of 2000, I took my last drink. And I didn't know that was going to be my last drink. And I quit putting needles in my arm. I used to shoot up a lot of cocaine. That's so I could drink more. But I quit drinking. I got in a recovery home, and I still worked at the fire department. They allowed me to, just live at the recovery home and go back and forth to the fire department. And then by that time, I was married for a few years, and I'm still married. I asked my wife for a divorce about 23 years ago. And we decided to take our marriage one day at a time. And that was over 30 years. We're married over 30 years now. And she's a saint. Nothing because I'd done. She's a saint. And she tried to save me, too, and rescue me. And she couldn't do it. It took a bunch of light, experienced people, old drunks, to help me, But anyway, through the years.
Can I just bring one thing up? You said you were in recovery, right? You're in a recovery home, and you were still working as a firefighter.
Yes, sir.
Right? So to me, right there shows me that your department in itself was very open and progressive to the mental health and awareness and everything else and the drug addiction, that they allowed you to do that. So you had some pretty decent administrative staff to allow that to happen, because many departments across our country would never let that happen.
Yeah, I was fortunate. I was one of the I had a couple other firefighters that went to the recovery home where I stayed, and ended up, one of the firefighters got pensioned off for alcoholism, and he was the manager at this recovery home. So when I went there, I fought fire with the guy. I knew him, so that allowed me to step in there. Pete was his name, and excuse me if I tear up a little bit. Pete ended up got his job back. They brought him back on the department, and he was sober 3 years. And Pete was doing really well. And then while Pete was doing well and I was doing well, another friend of mine that worked was Gary. He was a firefighter, ended up killing himself. Through Gary doing that, we ramped it up and checked on people. But Pete quit going to meetings. He quit going to church. He quit doing things that were working for him. And I went to Pete's house. I said, Pete, don't do what Gary did. I said, let me help you. And Pete looked at me right in the eye, and he meant it. He said, I'll never do that to my family. 2 months later, I got a call at 2:00 in the morning. Pete killed himself.
Went
to his room. We did what we needed to do there. And, after a while, we started getting better at checking on each other and doing things and stuff. And then, I was doing really well. I was involved in the community, I do nonprofit work. I did the fire rescue house for fire victims. We started that. And when I say me, it's a team, always a team. But we started doing that. And I was, helping people that had a drug addiction or alcoholism problems. And then I got on the board for American Foundation for Suicide Prevention in 2015 here in Indiana. And I started doing working with suicide prevention and helping them understand first responders better so they could start helping reaching out. So we started doing that. I was on the CISM team. That's a critical incident stress debriefing team. I was on that too. And a treatment center took us under their umbrella and just started adopting us, helping sheriff's department and counseling this for free and doing all kinds of things. So we really had a good team going. And then in 2018, we went to FDIC for the first time, but it wasn't under the Worldwide Peer Support or the fire department. It was American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. Well, I had Pete and Gary's picture, and I set it there. And I was me and somebody else was the only one because there was a bunch of other events in Indianapolis. So we all our volunteers that volunteered there couldn't come. So I was there, and we were in Lucas Oil Stadium. It was like Walt Disney World line to talk to me. And it wasn't me. It was the topic that we were there for suicide prevention. And I had a lot of different firefighters, young people crying about their runs. They don't know, have no peer support, or they had somebody that died or whatever. And then while I was talking to this group, another group was waiting to talk to me. And it was just overwhelming. And then a gentleman came over from England. He had a booth set up from England. He was selling rescue stuff. He goes, there's a friend of mine in England that does something similar to that. I go, what's that? He goes, he does emotional support swim dogs. His name's Pete Lewin. I go, really? I said, could you give me Pete's information? And he did. And after this FDIC, I got a hold of Pete. We started talking. And Pete was a paramedic in England, still is. And he does emotional support swim dogs with Newfoundlands. And so I told Pete, I said, hey, we need to do something. I said, we need to create something. And we talked about, we called it the Worldwide Peer Support. And we brought Claire from Australia on to help us out through this. Well, I asked Pete to come to FDIC in 2019. And when I did that, he said, yes, I'll come there. And plus he stayed at my house. And when Pete came over, we formed the Worldwide Peer Support. I started the website and I started everything. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. Well, nobody knew it at the time, but I started my the darkness came into my life again. I started cheating on my wife and to try to fill that hole in my soul because I wasn't going to drink or drug. And then after I did that, I said, how can I be this kind of person trying to help people, talking about faith? And here I'm doing this stuff. And I said, okay, I'm done. So my idea was, I'm going to start this organization and I'm going to leave this behind because I'm going to end up killing. I'm going to kill myself. I don't want to be in this world anymore. I'm tired of falling down and getting up. I just don't want to get up anymore. So that's the reason why when we came back to FDIC, the concept of the Worldwide Peer Support in 2019, we was partnered with American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. I was going to leave this here for people to get better because I just couldn't do it. I said, here, I had all the treatment. I've had the counselors. I had this. And I just said, here, I just can't do it anymore. But the head of our peer support that I appointed, the head of our peer support, seen some changes in me. And in those changes, he confronted me. And when he confronted me, I told him, I said, he goes, Skip, you've been isolating. You're not being around the guys anymore. He goes, are you thinking about killing yourself? And I said, man, I'd never do that to my family. The same conversation from 20 years ago I had with Pete hit me. And I broke down. And I said, I just don't want to be here no more. Man, I'm being unfaithful to my wife, my kids, and I just can't do it no more. And that's when he did what he needed to do to get me help. And I wanted to be a little bit more alive than dead, I guess. And then I went to the Center of Excellence in Maryland and got some help for PTSD, depression, and all those years of runs that I had that I never dealt with. Mm-hmm. But that's a little of the story that got me help in 2020.
And well, I'm glad you're here.
Glad you're here. Yeah.
Thank you, Sharon.
You're seriously the work that you've done. You know, since that time, you know that just by sharing the story, and as we're talking, I'm watching the numbers of people that are watching right now go up.
Sure.
That you are not only connecting directly, you're letting people know, like we wear the shirts, that they're not alone.
Yeah.
And that no matter how dark it gets, just hang on. There is light. You just got to hang on to find it. And, you know, we got to take another break here. We are talking with Skip and Lori from Worldwide Peer Support. We will be right back.
All right.
Hi, welcome to Heroes in Action. I'm Ray Amanat, founder and creator of this training system. I originally made it so that everyone can train for free. We have programs for kids, for women, families, and businesses. I'm an author, speaker, and educator on everything that has to do with violence and bullying prevention education. If you'd like more information about who we are and what our programs are, please go to our website at heroesinaction.us or give me a call if you have any questions at 727-314-2534. We hope to see you here to train.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are having a powerful conversation with Skip and Lori with the Worldwide Peer Support group. And, you know, Skip, I want to just, we brought up something in our workshop the other day, which was brought up to me on my other show through Dave Bray USA. He's a very patriotic singer. If you guys look him up, Dave Bray USA, he sings a song called Survivor in Valhalla. He's a Navy veteran who is dedicated. He's on Music with a Mission, and he's doing it for our first responders and our veterans. So he brought up something to me the other day about a painting in Paris, right, in the Louvre, and it's called Checkmate. Have you guys ever seen that painting? Well, it's a devil playing against the king, right? And it's called Checkmate because the devil has won, right? The devil falls checkmate. Years go by after this painting's in the museum that a chess scholar from college is walking by. He sees this painting and he looks at it and he for some reason he can't stop staring at it. So he's staring at it, and finally he goes, this is not called checkmate. He goes, there's still one more move on the board. He picked this one more move out. They ended up changing the name from checkmate to one more move because you always have one more move. Sure. And you bring that up. You bring that up in your journey, in your story. You know, God is telling you it's not time to check out. Though it looks like it's over, there's always one more move. And you found it.
I tell you, you're right. You know, when I'm so grateful when I went to that treatment, I was there for 43 days and I worked on a lot of trauma of 29 years of, you know, the runs. The little kids, the fire, and I won't go into detail. You already know. But I worked on the trauma, especially with my granddaughter when she passed away. And I never would hold little babies for the longest time because I just wouldn't want to. And I was able to work through that. And came home from treatment, and I got honest with my wife and my infidelity. We got family counseling, and she forgave me, and we're still married today. While I was at treatment, I met all these people from around the United States, and I told them the idea I was about the Worldwide Peer Support. And then the director, Mark Radigan, let me start having Zoom meetings with some people that I went through treatment with the other patients there. And then all of a sudden, it grew these other patients, and that's where I met Tony at, and they wanted to be a part of this organization. And as Lori said, we grew so much that all of us met in Asheville, and then we formed the organization, which we are a nonprofit now. But that's where I've been. You know, I got me a Newfoundland.
Here we go.
Pete inspired me, and his name is Herbie. It's named after Pete Herb, a friend that Herbie the Healer, my friend that died by suicide. I've taken Herbie into halfway houses, suicide prevention walks. I taught him how to stop, drop, and roll. And we really try to, you know, do what we try to get involved and do what we can for people. But, you know, at the end of the day, the person has to walk through the door.
Sure.
They have to get willing to be honest with themselves and to other people, because I can't save nobody. Nobody could save me, you know, and I don't lead with, I do have a God that I believe in. I used to be an atheist, and then I lost that battle, thank God. You know, but a lot of people are hurting, and there's pain in there, and you just got to meet them where they're at and just take them in baby steps. And that's what we try to do with our Worldwide Peer Support. You know, we go to FDIC. It's not the FDIC convention there in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil, is there to meet people and to show people we're here for you. And that's why all these boxes right here, that Jason Saltell that wrote the book The Rescuer, he came and spoke on one of his Zoom meetings, and then me and him became friends. And ever since then, he's came friends with the organization. And he always says, I'm the biggest nobody you're going to see. These guys are who you need to talk to. Him and his wife, Christy, they're good people. But we've met a lot of different people through our organization. And, you know, we're a family, but we can fight like a family, too, on the board, you know. And I want to be real. You know, we help people, but we're still human beings and we still have our character defects. But we do come together and we know what our mission is to help that next person that's suffering. We are fortunate that our RIT team, you know, like I said earlier, got a Chicago firefighter was in need. They contacted our RIT team. We got on Zoom and talked to him, and then he's going to be at the Center of Excellence. And we use all kinds of treatment centers all over the United States. We vet them. First responders, wellness, recovery first. We got a treatment center called Bridges of Hope, the Warriors Program in my town that I bring meetings in there, the Worldwide Peer Support meetings. So we work with anybody that will help our first responders, whether you're police, fire, military, whatever. And then that's what we do. We figure it out because I'm not going to leave somebody hanging. We figure it out. So, you know, whatever we can do to help anybody, that's what we're going to do. And the families, what Lori and my wife and the other family members do on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, they have meetings there themselves for the families. And now it don't have to be a spouse. It could be spouses, friends, or whoever that wants to come on there. And then we have our meetings Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern. Anybody that's a first responder can come on there. We got an average of 15 to 20 that comes on those meetings. So we welcome anybody that wants to come on. And as John, me and you talked earlier, here's how easy it is to get involved with our organization. Say you want to be involved in our organization.
Yes.
That's how easy it is. Because what happens is you get a lot to do. And we use everybody. I tell people I'm not the smartest person in the world, but thank God I know a lot of smart people. I put them around me.
That's what it's about. It's creating a family of resources, because we can't know all, we can't be all, but we sure can bring people alongside and help them get where they need to go because of the outreach that you have. And you guys have built an amazing system. So just so the first responders, the fire EMS that are listening, just say what days you guys have the Zoom where people can come on to the Zoom.
Sure. It's Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern for first responders. And then we double up Thursdays at 8 p.m. is for the family members or friends. And you can go on the website. It tells you. It's real easy. One click, you're in. It'll tell you there. And our contact information, if you want to get a hold of me or Lori or any of the board members, is on the contact page of the worldwidepeersupport.org. And we also got a new and we'll have that on there, Burnout Podcast ourselves. We got a podcast ourselves that we do. All we're doing is just kind of, we want to reach out and get whoever we can. And we just have different people, trauma therapies, police officers telling their story. You know, our sponsors, they get on there, the treatment facilities, tell what they offer. So we're just trying to put a carrot in front of somebody. Whatever we can do to get somebody the help that they need, we're going to do it.
Well, that's awesome. We got to take our last break and we will come back to wrap up and we'll share that website out for sure again. So stand by, everybody. We'll be right back.
To the Health Engineer Show, I'm Kurt Buechle, the health engineer right here on the Upbeat.
Hi, I'm Larry Cortez.
Hi, my name is Susan Hamilton and you're watching Upbeat. Hi, this is Doreen Milano. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business, where we will talk to Terry Cargiola.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. See, Lori, your head was down too. Mine too.
my supportive family is texting me through the whole thing.
So, we're back with Skip and Lori with the Worldwide Peer Support Group. And, you know, before we broke, Skip, you brought up another thing is that, you know, when you talked about your podcast and you're getting those resources out there. And that's what that's what we do in the Badge of Honor. Well, the more resources we can get out there, we're not going to save everybody because like you said, that person's going to want, they're going to want to get help, you know, before we can give them, you know, the water to drink it. And that's what it's all about. It's that ripple effect that we make. You know, we don't know how far it's going to go. We don't know how short it's going to go. It may go nowhere. It may go to the other end of the earth. It may go all the way to England. Just by words, just by what you say every day. You know, Lori, you impacted a 21-year-old, you know, wife. You know, she connected with you. You know, if 5% of what we speak about connects with one other person, and then they connect it with another person, and they connect it with another person, you know, that's all we can do.
Sure.
You know,
I wanted to add to what Skip was saying about the different times that we have meetings and then the family support. Those are definitely set meetings, but if somebody is in crisis, we are available 24/7 for them. Sure. You know, I have to say, when my husband made the decision to go into treatment, that week before he went into treatment was the worst week of our lives. I didn't know how he opened up this whole Pandora's box that I didn't know how to put there was no way you could put the lid back on it at that point.
Now it's all going to come out.
And I didn't know how to help him. He, you know, my husband went, you know, a long time without sleeping. Now he was definitely not sleeping at all. He was drinking a lot more. I wish that he had somebody to talk to at that point, and I wish that I had had somebody to talk to, because nobody that I knew would ever understand that and what was going on in our home. And it was scary. It was really dark. And the day that he left for treatment, I think I cried all day, and I was just happy that he was getting the help that he needed. But then it was time for me to start healing at that point.
Sure. Yeah, it's a journey that you know, you want your loved one to be like, here, fix them and give them back to me in a certain way, and you want it done fast. And like what we always explain is, it's a journey. So just because, you know, you're going to a treatment facility, this is like 30 days, you know that it might be 30 days, it might be 45 days, it might be 60. Mm-hmm. And you have to embrace that journey, because ultimately what you're going to get out of it on the flip side, in terms of more knowledge about why your first responder is the way they are, but it's allowing that first responder to also heal, surrounded by, you know, his brothers and sisters. And yeah, it's important.
I tell you, it's, you know, once we got started in this, the different people as yourself coming together, and it's great. It freshens my heart to see you're not alone. The podcast, which you guys do, Badges of Honor, see that stuff, because we're not alone. You know, I used to feel alone in a crowded room. No, I didn't. And that's simply because the therapist, and I go to therapy still. I went to one yesterday, Sunday, and in Indianapolis. I still go to therapy. I still talk to people. I still go to 12-step meetings. I help people. I don't have this thing figured out. I'm going to be one day at a time for the rest of my life, just like my marriage. We take my marriage one day at a time, like I do everything else, because time's a valuable thing. You know, I'm a rich man today, but I don't have a whole lot of money, if that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense. It's that one more move. We're playing chess every single day.
I like that.
We just keep moving our pieces. And you bring up another good point. Our network, Badge of Honor and you guys, and the worldwide support. We would never have connected. Indianapolis, Indiana, wherever, and Pennsylvania. We're in Texas. We would have never connected, but something up above is putting us in these positions. We don't know if we'll ever help each other out on issues, but you know what? We know that we're there, that we can use each other, and sure, we can help each other. And you know what? One day you're going to turn around and say, hey, I got a firefighter in Texas that needs help. And you can say, John's in Texas. Somebody you would have never, ever known.
I'm stalking you now, John. We're putting to work. When you said you guys would help Texas, I said okay.
I'm
a stalker.
All right.
There we go. So we want to thank you guys so much. This has been so powerful. WorldwidePeerSupport.org is the website for those of you guys that are listening and not watching. That's WorldwidePeerSupport.org. You also have a great Facebook page. So where can they find you on Facebook?
You go on Facebook. So Worldwide Peer Support, just search that and then you jump on Facebook. And then there's a podcast. It's all burnoutpodcast.org. You can go in there and you can hear some people. And if you guys, I'd love to have both of you on our podcast sometime if you're willing to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever. We can make that happen. Again, thank you so much for all the phenomenal work you do. Guys, they are an open book. If you are just tuning in, you got to go back and watch from the beginning. They're here to help. They have a network that is worldwide to assist. So, you know, they're continuing to smash the stigma. If you need help and that phone may feel like the heaviest weight you've ever lifted, that's your one move. That's your one move.
Yeah.
Pick it up. Get in touch with these guys. Skip, Lori, thank you. We will be in touch again soon.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks
for your work.
Have fun at FDIC.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Wow. You know, that was pretty powerful. That, you know, I'm glad Skip opened up and Lori opened up about, you know, their journeys. And that's what it is. You know, you bring up that phone, how heavy it is, that one move, right? But you know what? After you hear that person on the other phone side, that phone becomes so much lighter.
And right? Hopefully you've listened to the podcast and you know who's going to be on the other side.
Right.
So you're not alone. You have people that have been going through exactly what you're going through, and you know you're going to get the help that you need. So don't be afraid. You know what? While Skip and Lori were talking this whole time, we have connected with some phenomenal folks over the years. And right here, right above my head, Carry the Load, their story evoked so much emotion. And John, you and I have talked to our folks that do peer support, but they're also connected to the military and other organizations for first responders. They are nonprofit partners with us in a mission called Carry the Load. If you've never heard of it, it is all about bringing back the true meaning of Memorial Day, remembering those on active duty, our veterans, our law enforcement, all of our first responders, what they do every day, the sacrifices they make, and the ability to directly give back to organizations that are making a difference in this world. And that's what it takes. It's a family, right? So we got Worldwide Peer Support. Now they're part of a Badge of Honor's family.
Yes.
And that's how we really have to look at it. So if you want more information about Carry the Load, we have made it super easy. Just go to abadgeofhonor.com, our website. Scroll down. You'll see Carry the Load's logo. Click on it. You can join our team. If you are in across the nation, you can join our team. You can participate in one of the, I think they're up to, I want to say five, but I think there's six relays. And we all meet in Dallas at Reversham Park over the Memorial Day weekend, which is Sunday, Monday. Yep. And if you want to donate, you can donate too. It's all right there. Click on the Carry the Load logo on our website. And just so everybody knows, what you donate actually comes back to us. That's what it means to be a nonprofit partner with Carry the Load. John and I have really personal stories from September 11th. You know, we've told them a lot, but you know, I know that I'm carrying the 412, and I know, John, that you and I, in addition to the 412, which includes a dog, a police dog, a canine, it also includes those that we've lost right here close to us, most recently right across the bridge from me. So our hearts and our prayers go out to the Rockwall County district attorney's office who lost their chief investigator over the weekend. And so let's heal together. Let's carry their load and let's do that together. So again, you can visit that on our website. Subscribe to the YouTube page. If you like what you heard tonight, check out all of our other live, our podcasts. You can also listen to the podcast on your favorite podcasting app, but hey, just hit that subscribe button because, you know, that shows us we're like doing the right, we're doing good here in this, in this podcast platforming world, which is gigantic. We bring you the real stuff so that your mission to get well and to smash the stigma, whatever you're going through, you've got people that have walked the walk and talked the talk. So again, don't be afraid to reach out. And as always, we can't do this show without your direct support. So whether you want to do that through Carry the Load, like I said, click on the logo, or you want to do that directly through us, we've got a blue hovering donate button on our website. Go ahead and click that. Participate in our Roundup for First Responders program. And the money that we raise goes right back into programming for our first responders. And you heard a little bit about what we do with the workshop we just did with the Rowlett Fire Department. John, take us home.
Well, I'm just going to mimic what we talked about this whole time and what we talked about at the Rowlett Fire Department. It's never checkmate. There's always one more move. Don't ever think you're out of the game. The devil's not going to win. God bless you, Sam.
God bless, everybody. See you next week.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBM Network podcast and protected under copyright law. For content permissions, please submit your request to abadgeofhonor.com on the content page. For OBBM Network programming information, please call 214-714-0495 today.